God has been good to us. He's not just good some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. If you're visiting with us, not a member of the Church of Christ, you're honored, a guest of the audience, or a distinguished one, you're VIP of our audience, and we're thankful to have you with us on this morning. And we know that God loved the world, don't we? How do we know that? Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood that purchased his bride, the church of Christ. Amen. That's the only church you ever read about in the Bible. For a person to be saved, they must believe he hung, bled, and died, repent of their sins, confess him to be the Son of God, then be baptized in water for the forgiveness, for the remission of their sins. Amen. That's where you become a member of the church. This morning, I want to go to John chapter 4. I want to teach you more so than preach this morning. That's why I'm down here with you. We talked about worship. We've been looking at that in Bible class. There have been some comments made to me. I want to make sure I clarify what worship is. So be very attentive, because this is important to the saving of our souls. Amen. And we have to have a good understanding about the things that we're saying, things that we're teaching, and things that we understand. Make sure it's biblical. Amen. I think it's much needed to help us focus on worship and know what worship is important, what's important about worship, how it's a holy setting. And in worship, our worship is to God. In John chapter 4 and verse 23, we'll use scripture this morning. John 4, we always use scripture, but I want to really slow it down and stay with me on the scripture, because I want you to take notes this morning, be a student of the Bible. Take notes and think about these things for yourself. The Jesus said in John chapter 4, 23, the hour cometh,
and now is when true worshipers shall worship in spirit and in truth.
Two things, they're going to worship in spirit, and number two, in truth. Read.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Then he says,
God is a spirit.
And they that worship him must worship him
in spirit.
The strongest word in English language is must. The worshiper must worship God. How?
In spirit and in truth.
Attitude of the worshiper must be correct when they come into the presence of God. And then number two, they must have truth. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And verse number one, because Solomon was making a point of when one makes a vow to God. He said, when you come in there, here's the thing about it. What we're talking about in Bible class is that you vow when you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is, you made him Lord and master of your life. Now Solomon says in chapter 5, verse 1,
keep your foot when thou goest to the house of God.
You come into the presence of God when you come into the house of God. You keep your foot. Notice what he says now.
And be more ready to hear.
Be more ready to hear
than to give the sacrifice
than to give
of
sacrifices
food.
Of food. Now that's what he's saying. When we come in worship, we come in to do more hearing than we're doing talking. Amen, somebody. And so this sermon, I want you to what God expects in worship. Worship is an act of homage or reverence or respect to God. Listen carefully. The Bible said, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. What he's saying, if we assemble in the name of Jesus, by the authority of Jesus, he's there. When you assemble, it's not by his authority, he's not present. So not know anytime you talking about God, he's in the presence. No, Jesus said, it's by the authority. Right here this morning, we're in the presence of God. Because this is an authorized assembly. This is not worship service. There's a southern word. Often I go to travel, I hear people say worship, W-I-S-O-P. That's worship. We worship. Amen. W-O-R. We don't worship on nothing. We worship. This is called worship service. It's authorized. It is commanded that we come together in worship. And so this is important. So why is worship on Sunday? Let's look at that. Why is it on Sunday? In John chapter 20, and the verse is number 19. It is a day of worship. It is a day commanded. It is a day for a reason. We don't just come together on Sunday because everybody decided to come together on Sunday. It's because of a reason. Listen, John 20 and 18.
The Bible says, the same day at evening. Being the first day
of
the week.
Sunday. Now, in the Bible, days are not named Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 is Saturday. That's the seventh day. That's what the day of Sabbath. That under the Old Testament, that was the day. Under the New Testament, is the first day, which is Sunday. So on the first day of the week,
when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled.
Notice the disciples then first assembled
for the fear of the Jews.
Jesus comes in on that first day in the midst of his disciples. After 8 days, go to John 20 and verse 26. John 20 and verse 26.
And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him.
Now, let's count again. Stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they assembled on the first day. The seventh day was Saturday. This is number 8, which is the next first day. The next first day, they come together again. On the 8th day after his disciples were with them, Thomas with them, Thomas forsook the first assembly. If he had been in the first assembly, Jesus wouldn't have had to deal with Thomas and his belief system like many today. Then came Jesus again on that first day as the doors being shut and stood in the midst. So Jesus is sanctioning this first day assembly. The Apostle John said in Revelation 1 and verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What day is the Lord's day? The Lord's day is the first day, day one of the week. Day one of the week is the day of the resurrection. Jesus resurrected on the day one out of 7 days. Now, because of that, the disciples then would continue a new day of worship, which was no longer the seventh day. It became the first day in Acts 20 and verse number 7. The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse number 7, and Acts 20 and verse number 7, here comes the Lord's day.
And upon the first day of the week.
Day one, or the first day of the week,
the disciples
that were with Jesus in the upper room, when he said, this you do in remembrance of me, he was commanding them to do a memorial service at a certain time. Now, when do these disciples or these first Christians come together to do this memorial? This you do in remembrance of me was a command to commune or take the Lord's Supper on the first day. Not first Sunday, but first day. So every week has a first day. That's why we commune on the first day. Now, every church in Houston, every church in the United States, with the seventh and seventh day Adventist, they still think they're on the seventh. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But every so-called Christian church come together on the first day of the week. They get that part right. But the communion will be first Sunday. There's no Bible for first Sunday communion. There's no Bible for everyday communion. The only Bible you have for communion is first day. Now, some of them will go over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says, as oft as you do it. Well, the way you figure that out is you go to how often did Peter do it? How often did Paul do it? How often did John do it? How often did the men who were with Jesus take collection? They took collection on the first day. Every so-called preacher in town gonna make sure he get that part right. But when it comes to the communion, he want to do it on the first Sunday, White Glove Sunday. Well, there was no White Glove Sunday in the Bible. Every Sunday is a special day. Amen. Yeah. So the disciples also in that 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints,
as I have given order to the churches.
This is order given to Galatia.
Even so you.
What day?
Upon the first day of the
week. Why the first day? That's when the Christians would assemble I saw up on the first day of the week, he said, let every one of you lay by in store. That's
God
a good time to take
him.
This collection. When everybody's there together on what day? The first day. Day what? One. Christians are commanded to not forsake an assembly. Now let's go to Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Command is not to forsake
the assembling of ourselves
so
together.
So when we break command, that is a sin. Listen to the Bible. Not forsaking the assembling
of ourselves together.
Assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another so much and more
as you see the day approaching.
First day is assembly at Highland Heights because we have set a time and every church congregation is autonomous and on the leadership, we set a time for assembly so you can know. We set the time for 9 and 3:30, not just 9. Now, brother and sister, when we come here to worship, understand, now that we understand the day, the setting is holy. This is a holy setting. It is sanctified and is set aside by God for worship. Notice this, to him. Some of us come in there, what's best for me? This ain't about you. This worship is about him. Amen. There is a theology today that all life is worship and is designed to get us more free and less structured in corporate or collective or Sunday worship service. That's why we see all this crazy stuff going on Sundays. However, in the Bible, there is a clear distinction between worship and serving. Worship and serving God, you should lead. Understanding this in Acts and in Matthew 4 and verse 10. Jesus said it like this, Matthew 4, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him,
get thee behind Satan.
Satan, it is written, thou shalt
worship the Lord thy God.
Worship the Lord thy God and him only
shall thou serve.
See, there's a worship and then there's a serve. There's a worship, then there's a serving. So let's look at worship. Amen. In Acts 24 and verse number 11, Paul said it like this, because thou mayest understand
that there are yet but 12 days 12, since I went up to Jerusalem.
He says, it's been 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to do
to
what?
Worship.
So there was a time, he's pointing out, it's been 12 days since I worshiped. So it's 12 days later. So worship is not every day. Amen. And notice that. Let's go. Notice Acts 26 and verse 7. Acts 26 and verse. And to you Christians, receive with meekness when this pertains to you and your spirit and your attitude in worship. That's what this lesson is supposed to do. It's supposed to put our foot right when we step into the presence of God. Listen to it, what it says.
And upon the first day of the week.
No, Acts 26 and verse 7. Acts 26 and verse 7. Listen to it. Unto which promise our 12
tribes.
Instantly. Watch what it says.
Serving God day and night.
Instantly serving God just on Sunday.
Day and night.
It don't say that. It said we serve God day and night. But Paul referenced worship him 12 days ago. So what are you saying, Brother Brooke? Serving is every day. Day and night, worship is a commanded assembly of Christians. And brothers and sisters, when you don't assemble, you're in sin. Amen. Let's go now. Let's go to Genesis in 22:5. Genesis 22:5. Abraham
said unto his young men, abide ye
now,
here.
Abraham is carrying out a command to take his son and sacrifice him on a mountain. So he takes these young men with him. And so he gets to the bottom of the mountain and he tells them, wait here with the ass. And I, notice what he says.
And the lad will go yonder and worship.
They got to go up into, so they could have worshiped at the bottom of the mountain, but that wasn't what God told them to go worship at. So he had to go up into the mountain and do what?
Worship.
See, he had, under the patriarchal dispensation during the time of Abraham, they had to set up an altar, make a sacrifice to call worship. That's why Even today, you don't see, people don't worship like this in today. They don't have altar worship, even though they say it's an altar call and all that. That's a concept of the altar worship, but it's not. We don't make an altar call. We make your call to God. You're answering a call to God, a call to the gospel. We answer a gospel call. We don't give an altar call. That's come from Protestant teaching, but it's not biblical. We don't make sacrifice. We don't sacrifice goats and burn them. We don't do that. So he had to make a sacrifice. He was going to sacrifice his son, and that was a sacrifice, our offering to God. And when you do an offering, and a lot of times, let me just set this straight to you. A lot of times we say, this is your offering, this collection. Everything we do in here is an offering. You offer singing, you offer prayer, you offer giving, you offer communion, you're making an offering to God. Everything is from the individual to God. I can't give for you, you can't give for me. Amen. I mean, I can't commune for you, you can't commune for me. I can't sing for you, you can't sing for me. Because you are in presence, in your intent, and the reason for being in this assembly is to worship God. Amen. Is it making this clear? Now, notice this, conclusion. We all came this morning. We did not come to church. You say, I'm going to church. No. We come to worship. We come to worship individually and collectively. Individually and collectively. I mean, we've assembled because all of us are believers in Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some of us have vowed to make him our Lord and Master. Some of us haven't. If you haven't made that confession, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, been baptized, you're not in a covenant relationship. You're in the assembly among those who made that agreement, who made that commitment, but you are not. You haven't made it. You got to confess him to be the Son of God. Well, you're going to do it either before you die or you're going to do it at judgment. You'll do it before baptism, or every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, this sermon ain't going to make you shy, but it sure make you stop doing and cutting up in worship. And if we're going to do this, let's do it right. Amen. And the first thing, I got to have my spirit right. So I can't talk about you, and you can't talk about me. Because the worshiper is an individual, and the individual spirit must be right when he enters into the place of worship. This is something we all need to work on. Amen. Because, it's easy to become laxed and become critical when we are doing things we shouldn't do ourselves. Amen, Walls. And lights. We often say we come into worship, come into service. We go into church. Worship is service, but not all serving is worship. Worship is serving, but not all serving is worship. When we break out of here and we go and start working in our ministries, we're serving. When we collect in this room, and we say, when Tim stands up and says, does anyone make a confession? We'd like to make a confession before, at the beginning of our service. What we're allowing you to do is to clear your mind before we enter into the presence of God. So on Sunday, on the day what? One, we sing, we pray. We give, we preach or hear the word from God. Amen. So God has now got his people in attention, and the man of God is the preacher or the deliverer of the message from God. My job is to deliver the message. You are to hear the message. Not from the man, but the message God has for you. He always used men, never used women, to proclaim to the public. He always had, from the Old Testament to the New. He chose Moses, he chose Abraham, he chose David, he chose Peter. Jesus picked 12 apostles, never picked a female. That's why they are not preaching. Now, privately, women talk. They taught their family. They taught their husbands. But publicly, God put men to lead the church. Amen. All these acts that I talked about are equally important. Now, some run in to get to communion, but you haven't worshiped. So they said, as long as I get there in time to get to communion. No, you were late. We went into the presence of God at 9. You walked in and interrupted it. So you could get what you believe is the most important thing, that is communion. But every aspect of worship is equally important. Some things we need to know. Some people take communion and walk out. They don't sing, they don't pray, and they don't give. You're not going to heaven like that. Because you are not a true worshiper. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, and visitors. You can go into an environment where it feels like God is there because all this emotional vibes are going on. People think that that's evidence that God is in the present. Worship is about God, to God, and for God. It's about God, it's to God, and it's for God. Worship has nothing to do with pleasing or making you feel good. My job is not to seek to please me. You're not in here so we can please you. You're here to praise God. Get Hebrews 13:15. Let me clear up praise. Worship is about honoring God and praising him. Worship is to be focused upon, you are to be focused upon honoring the Lord. Worship is paying tribute to God and him alone. When we worship, we put our minds on God and we respect him and his word and the word delivered by his name. Amen.
Amen.
To properly achieve true worship, there must be a mental and an emotional engagement from the heart of the mind of the worshiper. In Hebrews 13:15, listen to the Bible.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God.
Now listen carefully, because you got the praise teamers and the praise singers and the praise groups. And they're promoting that singing is the only way to praise God. That's false doctrine. Hebrews 13:15 tells us this. Read it.
That is the fruit of our lips.
Watch this.
Giving thanks to his name.
This is fruits coming from my mouth right now called words. These are the fruits of my lips. Notice what I'm doing. Giving thanks. I can praise God today, tomorrow, and every day when I say, thank you, Lord, for being good to me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my life. Thank you, Lord. I praise God with my lips. And I gave him credit. Praise is not flopping around and jumping and dancing. Praise is not standing up, oh, my Lord has been good. Can't tell me how to, don't tell me how good God ain't been to me. All that stuff. That's emotionalism. The way we are postured now is in respect to the God we serve, and we should behave accordingly. But do not believe that singing is the only way to praise God. Because we should praise God every day of our life. We should praise God in front of people. Let your light so shine before men that it may see your good works. Praising God is when I say good about God. When I say how good God has been to me. When I say what God done for me. When I say what God can do for me. When I say what God can do for you. Every day of our life we can praise God. Clarification, singing is not just praise. Mark 12:29. It's a certain way that we are to come into worship. Listen to Jesus, the first of all commandments is this.
Hear, O Israel.
We come to hear to save our souls. That the Lord our God,
our God is one Lord.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God
with all
thy heart. Notice
this,
with all your what?
heart,
all your soul, all your mind, all your
strength.
And this is what?
First commandment.
Love him how? All. Mind, soul, strength, heart. Got to have all in when you get in here. You're all in. All the way in. Watch this. Worship, when I come in, I have to come in all the way in for me. Right? That's a must. So that's why we have no choirs. Our choir can't sing a praise for us. My praise is individual. That's why worship is on an individual basis. No one can offer a worship on my behalf. We should view worship as a time to be with God, as a time to be in the presence of God, which makes it a time that's reverenced. It's a time of control. It's a time to be in order, and it's a time to be holy. Remember, I talked about how we got to get this together on singing. We cannot be missing beats on the songs. If we have to, we need to go back to the books. Amen. Because every worshiper must be able to worship. And our worship ministry got to get this right. Right. Amen. They know I'm saying this. I'm not saying this. I'm saying this publicly. That's like us not having enough communion. We got to get that right. Amen. Everything God told us to do, we have to do it and do it right. Amen. Orderly and accordingly, with reverence and respect. That's why we have sisters who come in here on their own time early to get this ready for us. And their attitude is they got to get here and have enough ready. The singers should be ready. The song leader should be prepared. The preacher should be prepared. Amen. The guy going to pray ought to know how to pray. Right. Amen, somebody. Amen. And the controllers back there should get it under control. Right. They are controlling our singing in worship. No longer can we do this. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Should be trained individuals. We got to get this right or get away from the screen. I'm not taking nothing back I'm saying. I'm doing all this because we got to keep our foot. We got to know why we're here. And we have to be the example for people walking in. This is super important. If we leave here with the view that, man, worship is in the presence of God. Yeah, you think about it. Throughout the scripture, when worshipers were in worship or in the presence of God, they saw it as a special time. I ask you today, how many of you came here with the mind that, man, I'm finna walk in the same room God in? No, you didn't. We don't think like that, do we? We walk in like we're going to see our friends. We're going to socialize. And, hey, Mike, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, got a peppermint? And we laugh. I got a peppermint in my pocket. I almost put one in my mouth just a while ago. And I thought about it. I'm finna talk about this. Practice what you... We treat it as a social gathering. But if we knew God was going to show up at 9, we'd have been here at 15 till. Amen. Man, I ain't missing God. God on the way. Would you say eight? Man, I guarantee. See, the mindset would be, man, I ain't missing God, right? That's what worship should be. I'm not missing God. You're all kind of worship. Well, I won't do a lot of time on it. You got the vain worship. That's the one most dangerous. That's why you got all these denominational churches. In vain, they worship me, teaching the doctrine, the commandments, man. You have what they call idol worship, where individuals just idolize. They do what they want to do. They place idolatry. And then you have the ignorant worship that they just ignore Hebrews, Romans 10. They develop their own, what they think is good, and that's what you see going on in the progressive congregations of churches of Christ today. They come up with whatever they want to do and do it, and they call it worship. Angel worship, will worship. It's about the individual. Will worship is dangerous, too, because they're selfish. It's all about your will and not God's will. If things don't go your way, you got to complain. But if you came to worship God, your will is not his. It's his will that we do. when we come into worship, we come to do the will of God. It has everyone. We are worship is the one second to denominationalism. It's the one that's destroying the Church of Christ. It's will worship. It has everyone getting their praise on for themselves. Man, you can't tell me how to get my praise on. You hear those kind of comments from preachers. Don't let nobody tell you how to put your praise on. What is he talking about? He's talking about how to cut up and worship. And so it becomes our entertaining and emotionally charged setting. That's what it becomes. And will worship cause one to go above and beyond and remove what God requires, because it's about what you want, about yourself, and it's not about God. Now, worship being a must, then something we must know, right? Let me ask, can we worship God any way we want? No, we cannot. Worship is not about us. Y'all remember Nadab and Abihu? They offered strange fire. I don't have time, because I'm running out of time, but listen to this. Abel and Cain. But notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Hebrews 11, 4. Notice what happened with Abel and Cain. Cain and Abel. By faith,
Abel offered
there's
unto
that
God
offering.
A more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
A more excellent sacrifice than Cain,
by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaking.
Why was his sacrifice more so than God? So notice this, than Cain. Notice that by faith Abel offered. What does it mean by that? Romans 14, 22. Listen to this. Romans 14, 22. Anything that's not of faith or according to the doctrine of Christ is sinful. Notice this. Has thou faith? Have it to thyself before God.
Happy is he that condemned not himself and that thing which he alloweth.
Notice verse 23.
And he that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not faith is sin.
Anything that you can't find according to the scripture is sinful. You can't offer that to God. You can't offer anything to God. Our faith comes by hearing the word of God. If we have no scripture, then we don't do it. We must be careful not to put anything in service or in worship and offer God that has not been authorized by God. Our songs are authorized. Our prayers are authorized. Our communion is authorized. Our praise is authorized by the fruits of our lips only. It is not authorized to praise God with a guitar or a drum. Is not authorized to praise God through beat boxing. Beat boxing, Dougie Fresh authorized. When you walk into a church building, call themselves a church crying, they are beat boxing, walk out. Walk out, because you're not worshiping. Amen, somebody. And you know, I'm not the popular guy among churches of Christ, because I don't go along with a lot of this. See, and what amazes me, I just deviate just a little bit just so I make a personal statement that 34 years ago, I was taught in first principle class by Bob Allen and Bensel Smith at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, the first principle, which many of you have missed because you come to outdoor class rather than going to first principle class. Brother Michael Foreman teaches the first principles. If you have not had first principle class, you need to go to it.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. But in that first principle class, I learned what true worship was and what we are to offer to God. We do it in word or deed. Now, here's what my point is. Some will say Brother Brooks would hinder the church, the growth of the church, because we got to be more progressive. We got to get away from these traditions that we're doing. Well, Brother Brooks is 34 years into it, doing the same thing he was doing 34 years ago. Either I was taught wrong or somebody else changed. And I conclude they changed. Because they wasn't praise dancing when I came into the church. They wasn't beatboxing in them. Everybody at Fifth Ward know that. They still ain't. I hope they not. You didn't see no clapping and raising hands and standing up and all of that. None of that. We were reverent. We were in worship, and we knew why we were there, and we were attentive. The first song lead I heard was that man right there, Anthony Kirby. So the first song lead I heard was singing a cappella. It was one man singing We didn't have no praise teams. We didn't have no women with microphones. We had one man leading the service. That's what it was in the New Testament, and that's what we're going to keep doing right here. We ain't going to have multiple song leaders, one bass, one alto, and one tenor. We do everything by course, one at a time. You can't have five preachers preaching at the same time. You can't have five song leaders singing at the same time. You got one at a time. That killed multiple song leaders. I'm killing all these innovative things that's coming to worship. Just to let you know, the reason Brother Brooks is against it is because it's not authorized by God. And Dougie Fresh, do not get my attention. Now, am I going to apologize? No. Because my soul is at stake. Not for you and no one else. Amen, somebody. Because this is right. This is right. And people have choices. If you can choose to worship however you want to worship, at the end of the day, it's not about making money and saving members. It's about doing what pleases the Lord. God will take care of his church. Amen. We don't have to worry about that. Some people get, oh, Lord, we lose them. No, if they want to worship like that, then they need to go. It's not about money, not about membership. It's about relationship. It's about us being right with him. From the pulpit to the doorkeeper. Amen. 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 Now let me do a few other things. No one can offer God whatever you want. I have a lot of time. When, even when Moses went up before God, he said he stood in front of his God, said, take your shoes off. Remember that? You standing on what? Holy ground. You can't just come and put your shoe in. You can't get your shoes on in front of God. He told him, take your shoes off. You forgot where you at? You're in the presence of God. When you walk in here, take your shoes off. Well, not literally, but take your mind off of that stuff. Amen. And put your mind on who?
God.
I want to show a PowerPoint. Because I want, in our Bible classes, we were looking at that, and there were some things that I thought were very important to us. This is why I want the members to know that I'm listening to you. Because really, after all these years of being in law, I don't want to lose my soul and go to hell over something. We can change, amen. Or we can help you be better in worship. And you know, I shouldn't take this as fussing. You should take this as me teaching you with sincerity and with urgency and sternly saying, these are the things that we should be doing as true worshipers. Amen. Important things that we should remember. We should have tenets or expectations for our members when they come here so you know what Stacy did. It. Thank you, Stacy. It's like anywhere else. When you go to job, there are expectations. We got scripture to give us what we should be doing. And I've given you biblical reasoning for worship. Now, let me give you some things I think that's going to help us all. I got the clicker, I guess. I'm supposed to do the clicker. Oh, Lord, we pray. Always remember to do what? Can y'all see that at the back? They said no. All right, well, I'll read it to you. Always remember to honor and respect God in worship. Number two, show your respect for worshiping God by being on time and participate in all acts of worship. Number three, always participate in all acts of worship, singing, praying, giving, communion, and hearing the preached word. Number four, in worship, all things must be done decently and how? In order. Number five, as a leadership, we would never enter human or innovative ideas to enhance our worship service. Understood. I mean, we're not going to be bass miking. We're not going to be beatboxing. We're not going to be innovative. We're not bringing nothing. It's even on our website. When people are looking for a place to worship, we don't do none of that. We don't praise team. We don't have praise dancing. None of the innovative stuff. It's got to be biblical. Number seven, train your children to respect worship. Number six, as a worshiper, never let your emotions get out of control through clapping and shouting and acting out of order and behavior. Shouldn't nobody be standing up, getting their praise on by clapping, disrupting the worship. Amen. You say, well, Brother Brooks, I just feel like God. Well, you should be thanking God before you got here. Why are you just waiting now? Train your children to respect worship. Train them, take them out and quiet them down when you notice they are starting to distract others. Remember, to those who are critical on parents, their children, God has told us to train them. And remember that training of children is required by God, so we must allow parents to train children how to worship. And we must be loving when we do it. Amen. Training of children must be done by the parent. I know this. My mama say, shut up one time. Guess what I did? That taught me how to be quiet when the teacher says shut up. That taught me how to be quiet in church. That teach me how to be quiet when the police say shut up. And guess where they need to teach them to be quiet at? Right here. Now, when that kid don't understand be quiet, then I'll take them, ease them out of worship. And I understand. You understand quiet now? Take them back in. But you, I guarantee they don't understand. It don't take too many times. You got to handle it. Amen. You got to handle them kids. You can't let them do what they want to do. Amen. And so to the point where they are distracting the whole worship, you need to make a judgment call. Amen. Parents, do not allow your children to play or use their phones in worship. Like it's a time to play, color, write on the back of the cards and all of that. Teach them you are to pay attention to what's being said. That would teach them when they get to school, pay attention to what's being said. You can't lower the standard here and raise it in the secular education. You're in a setting to be taught. Guess what those children need to know? You are here to be taught. That's why a lot of them kids getting killed out there, because they don't understand authority, because the parents haven't taught them authority. Remembers. You ought to offer to assist other worshipers, such as mothers or parents who have special need kids. Rather than just turn and look at them, go help. Amen. You know, help. We ought to help. We ought to be more mature. Amen. Now, respect the place of worship by not leaving trash or damage in the worship aids, taking the cards and writing on the back of them and making little faces on them and all of that. Those cards are paid and printed for. There's a prayer request card. Use it for prayer requests, not for games, not for tic-tac-toe. Amen, somebody. I know Brother Brooks ain't going to be the one. I'm not going to get a lot of amens. Avoid using distractions such as phones and other devices that would cause you to lose focus during worship. Remember to silence or turn your phone off or leave it in the car. I leave mine in my desk. I make sure I don't bring it in here. Why? It's a distraction. When a text message pop up, you look at it. When an email come through, you look at it. You know and I know, we can't even leave home without those things. People will get out of home, get my phone, turn around, go back and get it. And then on the way to worship, they say, I left my Bible. So, oh, well. But when it comes to that phone, that iPhone, man, I don't know what date, I don't know what time, I don't know what app. Everything is on that device. That device is nothing but a tool of the devil in worship. Amen. Somebody said, well, I know you're going to justify it. Only use phone, electronic pads for your Bible by putting it on airplane mode or not connected to the internet. Download a Bible app and put it on your phone and cut that other stuff off. Amen. You don't have to connect to the internet to get a Bible app. They free. Avoid eating food, candy, doing worship, unless it's a medical need. Amen. Avoid unnecessary walking or talking during worship so that you are not interrupting other worshipers. Avoid walking or exiting worship during the invitation for souls to be saved. It's God's call of salvation. Well, how disrespectful. You saved, and when everybody else is being called to be saved, you get up and walk out because you got some red beans on the stove. Confession and prayer requests are offered before worship, start so that you can worship with a clear conscience. That's what Tim does every time before we even. So when we say worship, let us worship, which means now we're entering into the presence. Okay, so you can do it before that, or then the other thing, public confession of sin must be made with the matter. Like say, well, I want to go to the front, and I want to write on the card, brother, says I have sin. No, you got to come say that with your mouth. But the other thing you need to know is that prayer requests can be written on a response card, prayer request, but not a confession. Private confession of sin between you and God, you can sit there and do that. You don't have to come up to the front. There's no command to come to the front. That's it. I do it because I don't want to pick and choose who's going to pray for me. I'd rather say all y'all pray for me. But if you want to pick somebody, go right ahead. No, these are expectation tenets at Hollow Heights for the purpose of being scriptural in our worship to God and as an offer of reverent or respectful worship to him. If you have questions after worship, we're going to be in Bible class. We got some handouts with these tenets. I'm asking every member of the church to pick up a handout to take it with you so you know what our expectations are.
Amen.
Is that good?
Amen.
Close it up. Let me close by saying this. Now, I know I'm over time, but I'm going to go ahead and finish. Because this is too important for us.
Amen.
It's not a matter of intellect that we don't know what we're doing. We know how to control ourselves. If we were to go to the White House, you wouldn't go in there acting up. You would go in there because the commander in chief of the protocol when you go into the White House. You can't go in there cutting up. You understand that. And even though you may not like Trump, you would go in there and act right, or they'd take you out of there. You go to a courtroom. Some of you got experiences. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Some of you been in there not because you wanted to be in there. you was the one in trouble. So here's what I'm trying to get you to see. When you look at going to a courtroom, we know how to conduct ourselves in a courtroom. Judge Judy. You don't see nobody in there acting up. Everybody in Judge Judy court understand. Amen. Any courtroom you go in, you take your hat off, you turn them cell phones off, you don't walk, you don't talk, you ain't back and forth to the bathroom, you don't arrive late, you don't leave early. You don't do none of that in court. We know this, don't we? Our intellect must reign superior to our emotions. We know how to behave ourselves. I could go on and on. Weddings we behave. All rise, here come the bride. Everybody get up. We sit there and go right through the vows, and we're attentive, and we pay attention, and we quietly respect the deliverance of the word. Amen. So what are you saying, Brother Brooke? Is this important?
Yes.
Absolutely. If we're going to worship God, let's do it the way he said do it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's raise the bar, if you will. Believe that he did. Why? Well, God loved us. He gave his only son for us. That's something special. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever what? Believing in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That son, Jesus, came to this world and he suffered, y'all. He didn't just die to give us this opportunity to worship God. He was beaten. He was mobbed. He was spit upon. He was slapped. He was treated cruelly. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He was executed by crucifixion, the most painful and harshest death a man on death row could receive. He did not get the electric chair. He didn't get lethal injection. He got crucifixion. And God gave him. And God watched it. And then Jesus said, greater love had no man than this. They laid down life for who?
Friends.
He said, you're friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. What is worship? It's a command. If a person here today and you want to be a true worshiper, you got to believe he hung, bled, and died for you. You got to hear that. You got to believe it, Acts 15 and verse 7, with all of your mind. You got to repent of your sin right where you are. He said, Brother Brooks, I have not been true worshiper. I have not done it the way God. Believe with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess before an audience of people, before me in Hebrews, Matthew 10, 32, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8, 37. Then you must be baptized as commanded by God. As commanded by our Lord, Mark 16, 15 and 16. And baptism is where your sins are washed away, Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 16. When the sins are washed, you receive the Holy Spirit, amen. And once you receive the Holy Spirit, then the Lord then adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, Acts 2, 47. The Lord adds to the church, and the only church, according to Paul, Ephesians 4, there's one body, Ephesians 1, 22, the body of the church, Colossians 1, 18, the body of the church, Colossians 1, 24, the body of the church is the body. There's one body, one church, Paul refers to it, Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ. Salute you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the church of Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, we must worship in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him, how? Must worship him, how? In spirit. And that's what we plan to do with this congregation. If you have questions or issues, come to me. Amen. Straight to me. Don't go to nobody else. Come to me. Because what I'm doing is saying God is the one that's in control. Amen. And when we worship, we're going to worship who? God. How are we going to do it? With reverence and respect in the presence of God. So if you need to come today to be baptized, we'll baptize you right now. If you want to come for prayer requests, come down now. If you just want to come make confession, come down now. If you want to write it on the card for a prayer request, you can write it on the card and send it down, and we'll pray with you. Won't you do that? As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.